Welcome to the South Harbor Church Podcast. South Harbor is a part of the Harbor Churches, which exists to help people find their way back to God. This week is week three of our study of the Kairos Circle, in which we take some time to consider a plan, and then to find some people of peace who can hold us accountable. As always, for more information about how you can become a part of the South Harbor Church community, stick around after the message. And now, once again, here's Pastor Tim.
Okay, 2 Kings 22. If you're joining us for the very first time or the first time in a while, first off, welcome back. It's great to see you. We have been in a series now. We're week three in a series. By the way, if you have been here, you know what's coming. But we are week three in a series where we're asking the question, how do we listen to God? How do we hear the voice of God? How do we actually, we do that. We find that command throughout the scriptures to listen to God. But how do you actually do that? How do we actually do that? If we're honest, that's what we want, right? We want to be the kinds of people who don't just do things, but actually are the kinds of people who stop long enough, who slow down long enough to actually allow the voice of God to shape us and to challenge us and to grow. And what we really want is the deep water, right? That's what we actually want. We want to hear the voice of God and respond to that. And so we've been asking the question, how do you do that? Because let's be honest, it is kind of a weird thing to say. Hear God's voice? Like, you mean an audible voice? Like, what does that mean? And maybe you found yourself, you hear somebody talk like that, like I heard God say, and you kind of find yourself nodding along, like you know what they're talking about, and internally you're thinking, I don't know what that looks like. I would actually dare wager that for many of us, maybe even majority of us, when we use language like hear the voice of God, most of us don't quite know what that means. And just to let you in on a secret, you're not alone. Like this can be the stuff that we use and we think like, okay, hear the voice of God. That sounds like a very spiritual thing that very spiritual people do. And what we've wanted to do is just take some time at the beginning of this new year, and we actually believe that this is not just something that spiritual people, like super spiritual, seminary-trained people should do. And we actually believe that every one of us who follows Jesus, that we can and should be listening for the voice of God. I love the language Atiera gave us, the word she gave us a couple weeks ago, that we want to demystify. That's a good word, isn't it? We want to demystify what it means to hear the voice of God. And so we've been using a tool that... So we, as a church a few years ago, here's a full disclosure, a couple years ago, we recognized as a church that we don't know how to do discipleship well. This is before Tierra, she fixed it all, but back then, we recognized we felt like we really knew how to train up children well. Like we kind of understood, at a young age, here's what somebody should know at this age, here's what they should be doing at this age, and we kind of had a plan all the way through high school. And then what we recognized was it kind of felt like choose your own adventure after high school. Like, I'll do this Bible study, I'll go to this small group. And what we recognized was we didn't really know beyond like one-on-one conversations with people. We didn't have a strategy for doing discipleship. So we began like asking around, like, what is there any reputable group of people or pastors or theologians? Or is there anyone that's been doing this really well and has done this across like a large group of people? And we came upon the work of a guy named Mike Breen. Mike Breen was a pastor out in the UK, and he was a pastor. They actually developed, it's a long story that I wasn't planning on telling, but they actually developed this strategy in the event that what would happen if right now our church got shut down and we couldn't meet. Imagine such a thing. What would happen? And they all realized, well, if our church got shut down, we don't have a strategy. Like, we only know how to do this together. So they developed this, what became 3DM Ministries out of it. But then he showed up one day, and there was a sign on the door that the building was condemned. And all of a sudden, they had to put the plan into motion. And out of that, they launched this ministry that we got coached in. And essentially, Mike Breen, while it sounds... He did the work of kind of translating this to systems and structures, but he's building these tools off of the message of Jesus. The first message Jesus says, according to Mark, to launch his public ministry, Mark 1, 14 through 15, but especially 15. Jesus says, the time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Now, the Greeks, the New Testament's written in Greek. The Greeks have two words for time. I told you last week that I want this to become so familiar that you dream of the learning circle. Okay, they have two words for time. The one word is the word chronos, where we get the word chronology or chronological. It is the tick, 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 ticking of time. It is normal time. The other word they have for time is the word kairos. A kairos moment is a moment that is loaded. It's significant. It's an aha moment. You might use the language of it's a God moment. Okay, they use the word kairos moment. Kairos is a different kind of time. Now, when these moments happen, we can choose to ignore them. In fact, for the majority of your adolescent life, you just chose to ignore these moments. And and what happens is all of a sudden something big happens, and you realize, well, that's a big thing. But you keep on moving on because life happens. And so you maybe kind of notice it, but you kind of just keep on living your life. We want to suggest that when those moments happen, that you take the off-ramp and you do what Jesus said. Jesus says, repent and believe the good news. So repent is a Hebrew word. Or, I'm sorry, it's a Hebrew word too, but the Greek word that Jesus uses is the word metanoia. Let me hear you say metanoia. Metanoia. Metanoia means to change your thoughts, to change your thinking. Okay, so this really is about listening. Listening to God. God, what are you trying to say to me? Now, three steps that we've suggested for when you have a moment, a kairos moment, and you're trying to discern, God, what are you saying? We've said the first thing we should do is simply observe that the moment happened. This moment is different than other moments. Then reflect. This is where you pull out your Bible study. This is where you spend some time in prayer. This is where you slow down and say, okay, that thing my mom said to me on the phone, that triggered something in me. What was that? I found myself like all of a sudden angry. What was that? I observe it. Now I'm going to spend some time and go and say, God, what reveal to me what it is you're trying to show me in this moment. Why did that get under my skin so bad? Then we suggest pulling in some trusted Christian friends to discuss this with. Are you hearing what I'm hearing in this? Am I wrong in this? Is this, pull in some Christian friends. Now this is where it's really helpful to have Christian friends who maybe think a little different than you, that see things that you have some experience that you haven't had. If you have Christian friends that are older and can kind of reflect back, if you're new to parenting, it's probably a really great idea that you have some parents who are older who have done this a while that can kind of coach you through this, who might see things that we don't see. This is honestly, we spent the whole sermon on this last week, but my concern for the era that we live in is that with social media, we can find friends that just think and act and look just like us. It's kind of become a hotbed for conspiracy theories and weirdness because we find people that just think like us, act like us, believe like us, and anyone else, well, it's really easy to not pay attention to them because we can find those people really easy. I want to suggest that you look for people who believe deeply in Jesus, who want what's best for you. They want to see you win in the things you're trying to win in. Make sense? So, for instance, your friends. If you're married and you want your friends to want what you want in your marriage. So if you want your marriage to last for life, which you should want your marriage to last for life, if that's what you want. You want friends who can hear you in the moments where, like right after a fight. They can hear you and you can vent to them. And then at the end of that meeting, before they let you go home, they're going to remind you, hey, Tim, remember you love her. So like, we heard you, we heard the frustration, but I need you to remember, like, we were there at your wedding, and we said we will support you, and we will defend your vows with you. And right now, you are not acting like the kind of guy that should go home and talk to her. Right? That's the kind of friends you want. Fair? So this, the first half, is all about, like, how do we listen to the voice of God? How do we change our thinking? How do we let God confront the things that need to be confronted in our life? The other half, so repent and believe. This is the Greek word pistos. We said last week that it's to the Greeks and to the Hebrew people, it's not, belief is not intellectual consent or assent. It's not just, wow, I believe that stool is strong. Belief is always, I believe it, and therefore I'll put my weight on it, right? It's always about action. In fact, in the language in the Bible, you've probably seen this in certain translations. It's believe on the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, not in the Lord Jesus. It's not just think in your head that Jesus is God, but actually like start living your life like it. That's belief. This is about action. This is where you develop a plan. So God has spoken. You sense, you have an idea of what God is confronting. Now let's develop a plan. Let's find some friends to help us step into that plan, hold us accountable, and then let's do it. Today, this is all review, I know, for some of you, but for others, hopefully helpful. Today, I want to spend some time thinking about this and this, the plan and the accounting of the plan. It's a new year. This is, I don't know if you like the New Year's, but my guess is some of you do. I love New Year's. I actually love new weeks. I love Monday, because Monday is like a new start. Anybody else like that? It's like, oh man, I got a fresh start at this thing. For whatever reason, it's all mental, but for whatever reason, it feels like a Monday, I can actually go after a goal differently than I would on a Tuesday. And a new year is that for me. I know some people roll their eyes at New Year's resolutions, but for me, I love it. I've got a couple of neighbors who have started running, and I want to cheer them on every time I see them from my window because they're going for it. And
Once again, we want to say thanks for listening. For more information about how you can become a part of the South Harbor Church community, visit us on the web at www.southharbor.org or find us on Facebook and Instagram at South Harbor Church. You can find us live on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m., both on Facebook and at vimeo.com/South Harbor Church. And so once again, from all of us here at South Harbor and at the Harbor Churches, we want to wish you a blessed week.